एवं शिशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टा विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमामुष्पदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदि भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदना पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदला जयद्रथजला गांधार नीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहिनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगंधोत्कटं नानाख्यानक केसरं हरिकथा संबोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेवीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयैगिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैक्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद। दिस चैप्टर श्रद्धात्रय विभाग योगम द मेन टॉपिक्स दैट वी हैव डिस्कस्ड बिफोर इन स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ अध्यात्म साधना इन अवर साधना वॉट डू यू डू विद द बॉडी विद द बॉडी वॉट साधना यू हैव टू डू देन वॉट साधना यू हैव टू डू विद द माइंड एंड देन वॉट साधना यू हैव टू डू विद द स्पीच शरीरम मनस वाचिकम दीज थ्री थिंग्स कृष्ण हैज स्पोकन हियर इन दिस चैप्टर द साधना यू हैव टू डू विद द बॉडी द साधना यू हैव टू डू विद द वर्ड्स वाचिकम एंड देन द साधना यू हैव टू डू विद द माइंड right so all sadhana adhyatma sadhana or spiritual sadhana the goal of ultimately is that or in other words the tapasya what we are doing this is all tapasya only with the body with the mind with the words everything what we do is called tapasya that tapasya whether it has succeeded or not whether it has succeeded or not is understood by Krishna is saying here by looking at a person and depending on the manaprasadam he said remember in the 16th verse he said If there is manaprasadam, that means always in a pleasing mood, not depressed, not frustrated, always in a happy situation, manaprasada saumyatvam. Krishna is saying that's the proof of that. If the sadhana is working, and it means all the three forces, the body, mind and the words, if they are working, the symptom of that is that sadhana process is working, it is successful because of the prasannada, manaprasada, because of that, which means shandi, in other words, right? So, Swachada Bhadanam, Acharya Swamiji has mentioned like that, on that verse, that Swachada Bhadanam, Manaprasado Manashandi Swachada Bhadanam Manasaprasadaha. That is how he has spoken about that. Yeah. So, that is very crystal clear what Krishna is saying there. That if the sadhana is good, Manaprasadam will be there. So, how is it possible that? So Arjuna asked this question. Mind is very fluctuating, very flickering nature, the mind. And how to make that prasannada, that pleasing state? How will that happen? How to bring it to that state of silence, maunasthiti? How to bring it towards that? And there Krishna answered that when you are properly situated in the platform of the self, Atmaswarupam, on your real self, if that is the case, then Krishna called that is Alpa Vinigraha. He addressed it in that word. Alpa Vinigraha, he said. You can see there, he mentions that word as Alpa Vinigraha. So, Alpa Vinigraham is the symptom of that. Manaprasada Saumyatvam, Maunam, Alpa Vinigraha. So, these two things, silence and Alpa Vinigraha, they are the symptoms of this Manaprasadam as well. So, Krishna says that, which means that basically you are feeling the presence of the soul inside, some relation with the soul. Or normally we don't have any connection with the soul. We are simply in the platform of the body, living in this world. But gradually one will start recognizing that Krishna is inside, Antaryami is inside. When that realization comes, Krishna says that is what is called Alpa Vinigraham, right? And if it is happening, then that is called a Nishta. Nishta means a feeling of realization of Krishna inside. Alpa is there. That is, you may not have fully realized the self, but at least that feeling is coming inside, that Antaryami is inside, Krishna is inside, we are consciousness, we are not the body. This realization slowly starts dripping in. And at that time, Krishna says, the yoga system has worked. The yoga is working. So, yoga shabdam, the sound, yoga, Krishna has spoken about that in many times. Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna, he said to Krishna. Tasmad sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Many, many different places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken in that way. One place Krishna said to Arjuna, Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Arjuna, become a yogi, he said. Another place he said, Tasmad sarveshu kaleshu. Under all circumstances, all time, yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Become a yogi, he said. So what is that yogasthiti, what Krishna is talking about? You will see that in the 6th chapter, when he spoke about the yoga state, he said, Yada viniyadam, 6:18. Yada viniyadam chittam, atmanye valpmatishtade, nispraha sarvagamebhyo yuktam iti achyude tada. That is the yogasthiti what he is talking about. Yada viniyadam chittam, atmanye avatishtade, nispraha sarvagamebhyo yuktam iti achyude tada. So, with this verse, what Krishna has mentioned there, is a sort of an explanation for what yoga means. And obviously, Krishna has also spoken this yadha viniyadam chittam alpanyam avadishtade nispraha sarvagamebhyo yuktam ityachude tada. In other words, with that discipline, through the discipline of the body, mind and the senses, one has managed to turn the attention turn the Shraddha towards the towards inwards, Antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam, right? So Chittam goes inwards, the Ashtanshi Shraddha goes inwards, and because the mind has gone inwards, mind is the one which has to go inwards, isn't it? Mind is the one which is going out all the time in the world outside. So if we manage to succeed in bringing this mind inwards, then what will happen is Chittam, our Chittam, will stay in the Atma Swarupam, Adhishtanam. That is our Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means foundation of everything. Is the Antaryami inside. So our Chittam will normally will stay in the Antaryami if the mind turns inwards, right? And therefore, Krishna said that in order to make it more clear in the next verse, just like if you keep a lamp burning, a ghee lamp or something, and if there is a strong wind blowing, then this flame will start little bit fluctuating, isn't it, with the wind. With the strength of the wind, it will start moving back up both sides, right? So Krishna says that you will be such a steady state will come that just like a lamp or a flame is burning in a place where there is no wind at all. And similarly, that is what is example for that in the next verse, 6:19. Yatha deepo nivadasto tengade sopamas pradaha yogino yatha chittasya yunjado yogam atmana. Krishna is explaining what that yoga state is. Yatha deepo nivadasto tengade sopamas pradaha yogino yatha chittasya yunjado yogam atmana. In other words, Krishna is saying there, this example what Krishna has so spoken here, Lord Buddha has also used exactly the same example. What Krishna has used. What is the state of a person who is in the yoga state? Yoga state means yada divo nivadasto nengade sobamasmradam yogino yada chittasya. So many others have also used the same example, what Krishna has used here. So a lamp is burning and yogino yada chittasya. So yogi's chittam, the example is like this, yunjado yoga malpana. So proper light inside, light means proper realization inside is this, that is the existence of Atma. That Atma is real, body is not real. We have to get over this barrier that I am this body. Body we have identified with different types of bodies all along through our journey. But to come to this understanding that body is not me. It is that consciousness, bodham inside, that's me. It's existence, right? So that is the reason that for this reason, to do self-inquiry of the self is easier in darkness. In darkness, right? So that is the reason why great yogis in Himalayas, they go inside the caves, to stay inside the cave where it is dark. In that dark, they can, undisturbed by the world outside, able to realize the presence of the Atma better for them. This is what Krishna says here. Nengade sobhamasmada, yogino yada chittasya, yunjado yogamatmana. Right? So, therefore they went and sat in the caves inside. Right? And many great personalities have said, done this. Paramacharya also said, I don't want electricity, he said. I don't want electricity, he said. It is easier for dhyanam, for meditation, it is much easier in darkness. Right? Because there will be less distraction. There will be less distraction. Right? And naturally, inside the chittam, or the different chittavrittis that comes in the mind, it will very quickly disappear. When there is light and the whole world is in front of you, the chances of getting distracted is much more. Dhyanam becomes very difficult. That is why they prefer the darkness. And normally, the chittam, in the mind, the chittavrittis are coming one after the other. They will naturally stop once you are in the darkness. It's much easier, right? So Krishna mentioned here, manaprasada saumyatvam yogam alpavinigraha. He said that, isn't it? In the previous verses. Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam alpavinigraha. So, this verse, its explanation is yogam. This manaprasada saumyatvam maunam alpavinigraha, what he means by that, Krishna is saying, that is yoga state. The yoga state is what is meant by that, right? So, which means that the mind is in a pleasing state, always. Not unconcerned about anything what goes on in this world, right? Both the senses and the mind, indriyam as well as the mind, both of them has come under, is not doing any problem, creating any problems. In other words, senses are not demanding anything. The mind is also in a state where there is no chitavritti coming, right? So if one is in that situation, Krishna is saying that is a yoga state. And that was yadha viniyadam chittam, what Krishna mentioned there, 619, right? So yadha viniyadam chittam, what atmanyeva avatishtate nispraha sarvamebhyo yukta ityachude tada. He said that in the 618, right? So mind, what we call it as this thing called the mind, is nothing but our thoughts. Continuous thoughts coming, that is what mind means, right? And sometimes these thoughts will be in the form of recollection of our previous memory things. Things what we have memorized before, a recollection of that can come in the form of thoughts, of our past experiences, things like that. The memories, what we have, stays with us. Why do they stay with us in this memory form? That is a good question, isn't it? Why do they not leave us? Once the thing is over, it doesn't go. It stays in the form of memory, right? So, this memory, similarly the thoughts, the memory and the thoughts and the sleep, all of them are different aspects of the chittavritti. If you understand that. See, the thought waves are coming, right, inside us. And they are connected with our memory, orma. And then the thoughts, and then the sleep, these are all different swarup, different aspects of the chittavritti, right? Yogis are saying that even the sleep is a thought. Sleep is a thought, right? Therefore, in the yoga state, therefore, there is no sleep. There is no sleep. There is no thought waves. Everything is standstill. Nothing is happening inside. Everything is very quiet. And that is a state Krishna calls it as maunam, silence. Yeah. And the only when you experience that, you will understand what Krishna is saying here. The maunam of the mind. Maunam of the mind, that word, what Krishna has used, we will understand that word in that state. Right? If a little bit of stillness, that still stillness comes inside, then what will happen is, we will see things in this nature, what we are seeing in the vacant state, right? Apparently you will see them as they are also in a still state. The mountains, the forests, the trees, everything will appear as though they are in very still conditions, right? Apparently yogis look at Himalayas and they feel the Himalayam also is meditating. Or the great, great mountains, Vindhya mountains and all, they see them as though they are in meditation because of this, right? So in all of that, this the taste of that dhyanam, taste of that meditation, and in other words, silence is in a solid form. You can see them in their presence. In the presence of the mountains and in the silence of the forests and everything, yogis will observe this. You see, their mind is very sensitive to the prakriti, unlike us. Their mind is very sensitive to the prakriti. Whatever changes happening in the prakriti, they will immediately sense that, right? So they are saying, Krishna is saying here, in the yoga state, they will experience the silence in the prakriti, the maunam of the prakriti, and this presence of the silence throughout in the Prakriti they will observe. They won't see the Prakriti like the way we see. What we have done is, we have gone and smashed the whole Prakriti with these motorways and airports and five-star hotels and hospitals and all kinds of things we have created. And we think, where is Prakriti, we are asking. Prakriti is there. We have gone and destroyed the whole Prakriti with our economic development things. And now we want to be spiritual. How is that possible? So this is a difficulty, right? Whereas, this is the reason why they run away from the civilization. They don't want to enjoy this civilization, economic development civilization. So they go to forest for this reason. And so the silence, what we are that stillness of the Prakriti is that yoga state is being experienced outside. And Brahmam means this silence, means this silent state of Shanti inside. Sarvam Kalidam Brahmam. But they are feeling that maunam or silence in everything in this world, right? In that maunam or in that silence, what is happening is that names and forms have come. Namarupam has come, then Chittavritti has come, and Vikshepam has come. This is what has happened. Normally, the Prakriti is in a silent state, always. Prakriti is in a silent state. Prakriti is not disturbed. Prakriti is always in a maunam state, it is. And in that Prakriti, Namarupams have come, like all of us are Namarupams, different Namarupams, all species, they are all Namarupams. So Namarupams have come, and then what have happened? Chittavrittis have come inside, thought waves. And due to that, Vikshepam has come. When Chittavritti comes, Vikshepam comes automatically. You understand what Vikshepam means? Vikshepam means that thought waves that is distracting us from the in the mind, right? Distractions, right? So, so because of that, this maunam or silence is broken, right? Maunam is our natural state. Natural state is maunam, right? And it is sahajam. It's our innate nature is this maunam, right? So maunam is like this. It is our innate nature, and it is the surupam of Atma. Itself is maunam. Surupam of Atma, right? When the chittavrittis are completely stops inside, we are recognizing the presence of maunam inside. Till then you won't realize it. When all the chittavritti stops, that's when you recognize the silence inside, right? So, chittavritti thought waves happens when the distraction comes, and because of that, we do not recognize the presence of maunam inside. Maunam is such an important thing in the advanced state of spiritual life. Yeah? So, Atma's original nature is maunam, silence, right? And that has to be found out through the sadhana process, the presence of that maunam inside, right? Or through self-inquiry. And that is why Krishna said there, maunam alpa vinigraha, he said. This maunam is a symptom of alpa vinigraha. You see that verse 16? Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam alpa vinigraha bhava samshuddhi rityedal tabo manasam uchyade. Remember, I'm out of those three verses, shariram, vangmayam, manasam. Shariram and vangmayam, easy to understand. It's not so difficult. Shariram is based on the gross body, so it's easy to understand. Vangmayam also, Krishna has said how it happens. But this manasam is difficult to understand. Manasam is only possible if you are a little bit inward-looking nature. You have able to go inwards and start understanding all that words what he mentioned there. Manaprasadam, what does it mean? Saumyatvam, maunam, alpavinigraham. And for that, bhava samshuddhi, Krishna says. So only if there is bhava samshuddhi, bhavana mandalam has to be pure inside, mind has to be pure inside, that there is no chittavritti inside, there is total silence inside maunam, and that will lead into alpavinigraham. Or alpavinigraham is a symptom of this maunam inside. There is no thought waves happening anymore. And that is why Krishna is said like that. Manaprasada samshuddhir maunam alpavinigraham. And for that, what is required? Bhava samshuddhi rityedal tapo manasamuchyade. So that manasa tapas, that is a difficult one. that requires a lot more purification inside. More than the shariram, it is possible. Because shariram you can understand easily. If you follow those things, deva, dvija, guru, prajna, pujanam, shaujam, arjavam, if you have all that, brahmacharyam, ahimsa, easily understandable. Shariram tapauchari. That's not so difficult. Then, difficult means that it's, at least to understand it is not difficult. Following is another thing. Similarly, anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam prehidam chayal, swadhyaya abhyasanam chayiva, vangmayam tapauchari. That is also somewhat easier to understand. It's not so difficult. But this manas, mind, it is a little, requires a deep introspection about this. Manaprasadam has to come first. That means your sadhana is working. That is the proof of that. That you are doing sadhana and that sadhana is having its effect. That is what manaprasadam means. And the result of that is manaprasadam means saumyatvam. Saumyatvam, always. And then Krishna said that maunam alpavinigraha. There is no volcanoes inside. Nothing going on inside. Otherwise we are all moving volcanoes inside us. It's burning. Different thoughts coming all the time. And different ways we are responding to that, right? So that is why Krishna said, maunam alpavinigraha. So at that time, you will experience that happiness, that happy state of maunam inside, right? So this saumyatvam, Krishna used that word, this saumyatvam is a quality of satogunam. Saumyatvam is a quality of satogunam, right? And it is for that purpose that you do this dhyanam, meditation, everything, atma dhyanam, in isolation, in loneliness, you do for that. That means inquiring, self-inquiry, you can say who I am and what is my identity. And you are turning all your attention in the world towards the self, towards the antaryami, right? So, in other words, the condensed form of this mind is Shraddha. Condensed form of this mind is Shraddha. When that Shraddha gets broken up and gets shattered around in the whole world, then it gets scattered everywhere. When that power of Shraddha inside, when it gets into the world, it gets scattered everywhere, right? So, bringing it back again towards the Antaryami, Krishna inside, and then focusing there, and that scattered mind which has gone into the world, like all our cases, all of us, this mind has become so scattered, we are finding it difficult when we talk about soul. There's a thing called soul inside, because our mind has become Shraddha. Mind is Shraddha, is the same. That Shraddha got so scattered in the world outside that it's become difficult now to turn it back inwards towards the Antaryami, which is the most difficult process, right? So, again, bringing it back and focusing it there, just like example is this, that when you are in the deep sleep state at night, where did the mind go? This mind you are so busy with whole day in the vacant state and in the dream state, which has created loads of dreams at night. Behind both of these things is the mind, isn't it? Mind is behind your vacant state also, controlling you all the time, making you to run here, there, everywhere. All sorts of things we are doing in this world. Who is behind that? This thing called mind. Similarly, when you went into the dream state, all sorts of experiences have come in the dream state, that same thing called the mind. Where has it gone during the deep sleep? He is not causing you any problem at that time. He has gone somewhere and you don't even know where he has gone. That deep sleep state, sushupti, right? So, that place where the mind has gone back is the Antaryami. That's how to understand. We can explain Antaryami in many ways, but we have to find it ourselves at the end. We can explain it with various situations like vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, all these things. Krishna keeps on talking about that. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all over the time, isn't it? For what reason? To make us understand at least if we can think like that, there is a thing called the mind. Mind is the one what is keeping us busy in this world, running here, running there, doing all kinds, millions of things. And then when we are tired, we go and fall asleep. And then all the dream comes. There also the mind is controlling us. It's already controlling in the waking state. Then it comes into the dream state and controls us there as well. And then when you get some deep sleep, it goes. Nobody knows where it has gone. So Krishna is saying there that that way, place when in the deep sleep state, where the mind goes and disappears, that is Antaryami. That's Antaryami. Either we have to accept, these things cannot be proven by experiments and research and all, they're wasting time. This you have to accept Shastram. This is why Krishna is saying this. Accept Shastram first. Shastram, don't question that. There is no point in questioning Shastram. It's a waste of time. A small Shastram Pramanande, Karya Karya Vyavasthita. He said through the eyes of the Shastram, Shastra Chakshusa, you have to see things. The small Shastram Pramanande, Karya Karya Vyavasthita. Great, great rishis, they have through their meditation, dhyanam, they have reached that state and they are telling us, why can't we believe them then? Why do we need another proof for that from the scientists and all others? We don't need any scientists to support these things. It's already there. So Krishna is saying that Antaryami, that we are going to him in the deep sleep state, in Sushupti. But if you can do that in the vacant state, if what is happening in the Sushupti, if you can do that, of course, in Sushupti, it happens in an unconscious way. We are not conscious of that. It just happens to us, right? But consciously, if you can do that in the vacant state, what will happen then? Krishna says, you're already liberated then. You got it then. Then you don't have to look for anything. Whole thing changes with us then. That is self-realization. That's self-realization, right? That time, this I am, ahangaram has gone completely, right? And that, similarly, just like when we get, our heart beats faster or our heartbeat increases when we get angry, or suppose you have spoken rudely to somebody, or some problems in life has come, and you're finding it difficult to solve those problems, right? And you are wondering, what should I do now about it? Some issues have come in life, all these things. And all those things goes away once for all. They will not be there anymore. That is why Vedantam is saying this to us, that you are taking this life so seriously, but in the realized state, all these are not problems at all. These problems don't exist, right? So, when he is alone, when that person is alone, in solitude, then you can see that he will see, problems will still be there, but he will see those problems coming and going out. It is not affecting him at that stage, right? So that vritti, aham vritti, its problems are not touching you anymore, because mind has gone and touched the Antaryami, like in the Sushupti. In Sushupti also your problems are still there, but it's not affecting you. So exactly that Sushupti state, if you can bring it into the vacant state, you are become free then. Body is gone then. After that, you don't have a problem with the body anymore. It's a huge task, no doubt about that. It's a huge task. This is a sadhana on its own. There are several sadhanas spoken in the Bhagavatam, right? Jnana sadhana, it is one of the part of that. And that jnana sadhana is saying this, that in simple terms they'll explain to you, and it makes very logical also. Looks very logical, is it not? That the mind, what is giving you trouble in the vacant state, in the dream state, it disappears somewhere in the deep sleep. Where has it gone? To Antaryami. Krishna says it's gone to Antaryami. And you don't have any problems at that time, in that deep sleep state. All these problems what we are carrying on our shoulders, on our head, thinking that I have to solve this, I have to solve that, I have to solve this. All these worries, where have they gone in the deep sleep? Yeah. All these problems are not touching you anymore once you have touched Antaryami, right? So you can see, like in the sky, when loads of clouds come, and we get affected by the clouds. But actually, the clouds comes and goes. Agasham is not affected. The sky is not affected by the clouds. Clouds come, clouds create problems, and clouds disappear. Right? In the same way, in us, inside, Antaryami is there. Antaryami is like the Agasham, like the sky, unaffected by anything. Clouds are these thought waves and all the problems and all the distractions and all kinds of emotions, thoughts, everything. These are all the clouds that they come and then they go. And we are inquiring what's the solution to solve the clouds problem, right? And after some time, like the clouds disappear, these problems also will disappear. In my original spiritual identity, there is no problems. Atma has no problems. Problems are all inside this mind, right? So yoga process is this, that how to destroy that clouds that is coming up, right? Who am I? What is my nature? And this bodham inside us, awareness inside us, in the form of aham, aham, that chitavritti, right? I'm thinking that I got this problem, it's my problem. All that disappears when I go to deep sleep, right? And even that distraction what I have also disappears, right? So, consciously, who has got this pain, right? And if you inquire that, or this distress, and this strong attachment I have to various things, all these things, who is having this? Who has got this attachment? Who is suffering from the different problems in this world? Then you realize that it is not coming from the Antaryami, it is coming from the ego. You remember what Krishna said about that? Ahangarasya drishyante. Harsha, shoka, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, madal, malsaram. Ahangarasya drishyante. Naja mrityucha almana. Remember? Ekadasya skandam, Uddhava. He said to Uddhava, Uddhava, all these problems, what you are talking to me, is not happening to the self. Harsha, shoka, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, madal, saram. All these things are, even birth and death, janma mrityu, nacha atmana, for the Antaryami nothing, he said. Birth and death even not there for Antaryami. Birth and death is also for the jiva. Ahangaram means jiva. So that clarity has to come inside. Till then we have to suffer. Till that clarity comes, we keep suffering, solving the problems of the world, right? So. So, what is this surubam of the mind? This surubam, which is in the form of in the what we experience inside aham aham, that vritti rubam in the mind, right? That's what Patanjali's people will call, or the Ashtanga yogis will call it as kundalini. That's the same thing Patanjali's people call as kundalini. So, and that awareness inside, bodham inside, inside us, is all the time there. Aham, 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 that awareness, bodham, right? And everybody has got that. And this ticking of the heart is an indication of that, that it is there. It is there, right? And the jnanis, what they do, they focus all their attention on that aham, aham vritti, aham, aham, in there, right? And the people who are chanting the holy name, they also eventually, after they chanted for a long, long time, that chanting ultimately goes back inwards, and there you will see the, without your knowledge, the japam will continue inside. Ajapa japam it is called. Japam will come to such a stage that japam will continue inside without your knowledge. Suppose you have chanted for a very, very long time the holy name. After a long time, even if you stop chanting, you will hear chanting inside, going on. It will happen that way. Ajapa japam, it is called. Yogis all have that, right? So, aham aham idi, sakshal atmarubena bhadi. So, when will that stage will come? At that time, this ego, ahangaram, will disappear. Ahangaram has gone, right? And all you are experiencing is the presence of pure chaitanyam. Andaryami, inside, right? And that state is called Maunam, or what Krishna mentioned here. Maunam, that stage, Maunam, right? So, that Maunam, its flavor is Nirvanam, Moksham, in other words, right? That is what Krishna has told us in the second chapter. Then at least you should smell that flavor before you die. Last words. Yesham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapi Mohyadi Hitvabi Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvanam Archadi. Nirvanam, what the Buddhists call is Nirvanam, Krishna calls it as Brahma Nirvanam. All that is a taste of that Maunam, silence inside. And if we taste it, a little bit of that, before you leave the body, he says you are escaped. Stitvasya andhakalebi. Krishna puts it like this. Stitvasya andhakalebi. At least at the time of leaving the body. Before that, yeah. So, otherwise, what's our life? Constantly thinking. And then our ahankaram is working, doing different things. And buddhi is also busy. Ahankaram, buddhi, and the mind. These three things are running around everywhere, and we are also running along with that whole day, right? So this continuous movement inside of ego, of the buddhi, as well as the mind, all these things. And that movement stops. Movement stops. All the thought waves have got become frozen. They are not coming anymore like before. It got frozen inside, right? And that's what Krishna said then. Esham Brahmi Siddhi. That's a Brahmi Siddhi. Brahmi Siddhi means all the thought waves are frozen inside. It's not coming out anymore. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. So this Mauna Siddhi, Brahmi Siddhi, in that silence, it is present everywhere. And then after that, there will not be any more falling down from that. You will feel that fulfillment inside. Pratiti, what it is called. Tripti, satisfaction. So Krishna says that Hitvabi Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvanam Archadi, right? And the same thing in Bhajagovindam prayers also. Nirmohate Nishchala Tattvam. The Nishchala Tattvam is that state, right? Moham. Moham. Moham means that this, we have an addiction towards this thinking business, is it not? Some people have got very strong addiction towards thinking. They'll be thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, endlessly thinking. Thinking about what? Keep on thinking. And then we say, oh, he's a very thoughtful person, we say. Which is not a good thing. If you're too thoughtful, means you are in trouble. So when this thinking business stops, this addiction goes away, that that is what Krishna talks about this, right? That will come down, this addiction will come down, and people don't have the training to sit in a place and not able to think about anything. That training we don't have, is it not? Abhyasam for us, right? Therefore, that is why if I'm not getting anything to think about, I'll switch on the television. If I don't have anything to think about, what will I do? I want to think, so I'll switch the television on. And if I don't have the television, I'll do the mobile on, I'll start doing this. So this is all the symptoms of the sickness what we have got. Our sickness is that. Without that we can't live in this world. That sickness has gone inside so deeply. Right? So, or sometime in the olden days, before television and all these things came about, what people did? They always want some company. Isn't it? Family members or friends, always having some association with some others, right? Relatives and all this is for that purpose. Relations, friends and all that. So we can keep doing this somehow or the other, right? What is that? It is all for this. It all is supporting this ahankaram inside. That's what it does. It is giving strength for that ahankaram. And what we have to understand is yogis and jnanis and great rishis, they don't go in this direction. They become free from all these things and they realize that even if none of these things exist, I can still exist happily. I can be happy without any of these things. Without all these external instruments like television, mobile, and without all these friends and family and all that, I can still be happy in life. That realization is what yogis are talking about, right? So, and that is why in that Dakshinamurti Sotram, it began with that, isn't it? Maunavyakya Prakatitaparam Brahmatattvam Yuvanam. Mahadeva, Lord Shiva, is instructing the four Kumaras in front of him. Srinarada Maharshi is there as well. And Vashishtande Vasadrishikanai Avrutam Brahmanishtam. What is that Brahmanishta means? Dakshinamurti is teaching them, the rishis, he is teaching the rishis what is Brahmanishta means. Unaffected by thoughts, able to remain in that state. Acharyendram Karakalidajin Mudram Anandarubam Swalmaramam Atmaramam Udidavadanam Dakshinamurti Mide. That Atmarama stage. Remember in the Bhagavadam? Atmaramascha Munayo Nargranda Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Ahaitugim Bhaktim Itam Bodhaguna Hari. Actually, only in that state you can execute proper bhakti. That is what Mahaprabhu has also said, the same thing. The famous Atmarama verse, isn't it? What is it saying? Bhagavatam verse it is. Atmaramascha Munayo. Munis who are Atmaramas, who are in that state, Nirgrandi Abhivrukrame, their ahangaram is completely shattered. There is no more ahangaram inside. They do Ahaitukim Bhaktim. Their Ahaituki Bhakti they execute. The bhakti without any motive behind that. Itam Bodhaguno Hari. And they talk about Krishna's transcendental glories at that time. So, to connection all these things, you have to connect all these things together, and then you understand what the Shastram is saying about self-realization, right? So one who has this anubhuti, for him, this maunam, silence, it will display the Brahma Tattvam. He will realize that now, in our present state, one person is speaking, another person is listening. This is the current situation, right? But in that state, you will realize everything is one. There is no someone saying, someone listening. All these things goes away, right? I have the silence, you have the silence as well. Shanti for me and shanti for others as well. And in that stage, Acharya goes away. He is in Maunam. Disciples is also in Maunam. And these instructions, what goes on, that is also Maunam. Everything becomes Maunam then. Dakshinamurti's Maunam, Kumara's Maunam, and the instructions from Dakshinamurti to Kumara's, that's also Maunam. Everything in that Maunam stage comes at that time, right? So, yeah, Shiva Kevaloham, Vikalpam, Asahishnu. In other words, in a very silent lake, suppose a mountain fell into that, then there will be plenty of waves from there, right? Similarly, in our that yoga state, suddenly if a movement happens, then that is when this ahangaram comes. That's how this ahangaram pops up, right? Once this ahangaram pops up, then what comes? Me, you, he, she, all these things comes. Actually, none of them are real. None of them are real, isn't it? This is all in our ignorant state. You are feeling that all these people exist, different people exist and all that, right? And once you have recognized the existence of so many living entities, then vyavaharam begins. After that, the vyavaharam begins, right? So, in order to not allowing that ahangara vritti to come up inside, and that is what one should try in spiritual life. Ahangara vritti don't come up. And that applies both to jnanis as well as the devotees. Jnanis crushes the ahangaram through reasoning and logic. They crush that. Devotees crush the ahangaram with surrender to Krishna. That's all it is, the difference. Devotees surrender to Krishna and praying to Krishna, not allow the ahangaram to pop up inside, to control the ahangaram from inside. And the yami can control it if he wants it. Because once vyavaharam begins, ahangaram will come. Ahangaram will control the situation. Yeah. So what the point is, Krishna is saying here, is that the If you can control that ahankaram, either through jnanam or through bhakti, somehow or the other it has to be done. There is no alternative to that. Yeah. So, so that's what Krishna calls it as yoga siddhi, right? And then you are remaining in a fresh state, no thought waves, and also you are very energetic, that you are not feeling any stress, and no problem from the sleep, and in other words, the sky inside is free from all clouds, and no darkness, no smoke, nothing. Smoke means the thoughts and emotions and everything. That's all the smoke inside. So, andarangam, right? So, at the same time, the senses also are not relating with the sense objects anymore. These are all in the realized state, it's happening. Senses are not interacting with the sense objects, right? All they requires is this awareness, bodham, inside that vibhuti. So, so the thing is, what Krishna is saying, these are all introduction to the next important verse. The next verse is very, very important. It is very well known. It is from the Upanishad, straight away. Om Tat Sati, Om Tat Sati Dinurdesham, Brahmanatra Vidhas Pradaha, Brahmanostena Vedascha, Yajnascha Vihida Kure. Om Tat Sati Dinurdesham, Brahmanastra Vidhas Pradaha, Brahmanostena Vedascha, Yajnascha Vihida Pura. This is all an introduction to bring us to this point, this understanding, what Krishna is saying there, right? So, this vigalpam, what is inside us, is all the different thoughts which is coming inside, thought waves, right? And which means that we are seeing different namarupam, we are identifying them as individuals, and this mind, which is busy with all the chittavrittis, and with all the namarupams, and with the world outside, goes and surrenders itself inside to the Antaryami and not coming out anymore. That is a yoga state, what he mentioned, right? So, in the mind, which is now scattered in various ways, right? In the yoga state, what happens when it comes to yoga state, when you weave a cloth, the threads go like this and thread goes like that, isn't it? And that situation, sutram, right? That chittam, what is inside, you are recognizing that it's mula spandanam, it's called. In other words, this chittam and ahangaram, where do they come from? All comes from that same source, Antaryami inside, right? And you are realizing that all these things, what has come from inside, mind has come from there, ahankaram has come from there, intelligence has come from there, all the chittavrittis have come from there. It's all of them are working, the whole subtle body is working only because of this Antaryami inside. Once you realize that is the source everything is coming from, this subtle body completely disappears. And a yogi can see all these things in that yoga state. And that is why in Lalita Sahasranama you will see Chidagni Kunda Sambhudam Devagarya Samudyama. There is a verse in the Lalita Sahasranama if you look. Chidagni it is called. Chidagni means that burning agni inside in which all these different things manifesting. Mind, intelligence, ahangaram, thought waves, emotions, and lust, anger, greed, all these are different types of things manifesting from that Chidagni. Chidagni Kundam, Agni Kundam. It is called Agni Kundam. It means it's a fire sacrifice inside going on. In that Chidagni Kunda Sambhudam, Devakari Samudhima, in the says, Lalita Sahasranama says that, right? So, that Agni Kundam is this Hridayam Sthanam. Agni Kundam is that Hridayam Sthanam, right? And in that Agni Kundam, in the form of chittavrittis, is the mind present in that, yeah? And the mind keeps shrinking one afterwards, right? And ultimately, it becomes a small wick, And finally, you only see that it is present there. It's not causing any more problems, right? And just like a throbbing only. And you will be able to see its presence in the Antaryami. How this mind is coming from the Antaryami. It's a shadow, right? So, so all these things Krishna has saying here, this is all included in that verse, right? And then what else it does? It does like this, that it is like inside is a big space, Chidagasham it is called. It's called Chidagasham, isn't it? Chidagasham means, compare that with a huge space. You see, when we are identifying with the body, we cannot relate with it easily, when we identify with the body. But Chidagasham means this existence of this vast space inside. And that space, Krishna is saying here, that is where all these things are happening. Chittam, Ahangaram, Manasa, Buddhi, and all the Ragam, Dvesham, all Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Moham, all these things, right? You cannot, when this is going on like that, it is difficult to find a solution to that problem. Because you will see that if you solve one problem, another problem will come from that. That's the nature of this, our inside story is like that, yeah? So, this thing called mind, unless you get it under control, these problems won't stop. Mind is the source of all these problems, all kinds of thoughts. Chitavrti, then ragadvesham, and then all the kamam, krotham, lust, anger, greed, all such things, right? So, forcefully making the mind to go back to its source and blocking it there once for all, that is the solution. What we are doing now is, whatever problems we are coming, we are taking it each one individually and trying to solve it, is it not? On one side we are busy with the family problems. On the other side we are busy with the office life problems there. And then when everything has been solved, if you want to sit peacefully, problems with the body comes. Then you start solving the body. So what we are doing is, individually you are trying to solve every individual problems. What Krishna is saying is, that this whole thing is happening in one thing called the mind. If you can block that mind to coming out from the Antaryami once for all, push it backwards and stop him coming up again, you solve all the problems then. That's the only way it can be done. Yogis are doing that. That is what he says. So this control of the mind, you remember in whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna stresses on the mind all the time. It's not anaprasada saumyatvam, he said. Anaprasadam, he said. And similarly, other place, Arjuna also, Anjalam him anakrishna, pramadi valaval dradam, vayuriva ghanavili. All these verses, if you look, everywhere Krishna has only one thing to say to us. Arjuna, the whole problem is this mind. If you can get it under control, you have solved the problem. There is no problem after that. Yeah. So, and that controlling of the mind is called yogam, right? And if you try to solve the problems in the world outside, like the way we are doing now, what will happen is Tripudi will come. Tripudi will come, right? Tripudi means I am there, and the world is there, and then the problems are there, and I have to solve the problem. All these are Tripudi. They are all called Tripudi. See, most of the religions are based on this Tripudi principle. I am there, the world is there, God is there, right? As long as you have this situation, Tripudi it is called, like a triangle. Me, the world and the God. If I have a situation like this, problems are never going to get solved. I can keep praying to God, make this place better. According to his liking, he will change it, whatever he wants to do with it. Nothing will happen to it. So that is the Tripudi. Tripudi is not going to be solved. And as long as Tripudi is there, problem will be there. So that's the important thing, right? So, and then you will keep on individually trying to solve the problems. And in order to solve the problems, you require different things, dravyam and the knowledge, and other people are required, right? And that is what is called a samsaram. Samsaram means this Tripudi solution, trying to solve the problems of Tripudi. That is what samsaram means, right? So then samsaram means once you take to that position of the Tripudi, then you will be concerned about, is the time auspicious, you will say. Kalam has to be favorable, right? And favorable situation has to come, and you will get trapped in all the other things, astrology, Ayurvedam, all the other problems will be there. You will try to solve individual problems like that. When Tripudi is there, you will try to solve individual problems. That's the difficulty with that, right? So, the solution, Krishna is saying that, ultimately, realizing your actual identity, Antaryami. And so that chittavritti, that realization, these chittavrittis, although they may be happening, because vrittis also are not real, you see. You may think, I thought about this, I say to somebody. What have I thought about? People say like that, don't they? Oh, such a deep analysis I did. It's all in the air. It means nothing. Chittavritti only it is. And chittavrittis are not real. That's what Krishna is pointing out. You see, because this cannot be proven unless you practice it and realize it. That's the only way it can be understood, right? So, that vrittis are not real. And when aham vritti comes, it's a vritti, it is aham vritti, right? And that is actually chidagasham. It is not my existence. When aham vritti comes, it is not my existence, right? And that aham vritti is the one present in me, present in you, present in everybody else. Same aham vritti, right? And it is in that aham vritti only desham, kalam, everything exists. Not in the Antaryami. Antaryami does not have time and space and all that. Time and space is only for the jiva in that aham vritti. Aham vritti is taking into account the time. We talk about history. We talk about revolutions and all the other things what happened in the world. All this is in relationship with what? In relationship with that aham vritti only. It has nothing to do with the Antaryami inside, right? So, this whole creation itself has no meaning at that time. Because whole creation is also an experience like in the space, you feeling an existence of all these things. And just like they say, it is like a picture that is hanging of this world. It's nothing but a picture that is hanging in that space. And this is exactly the first verse in the Bhagavatam. If you carefully analyze the first verse. When he said, Janmadhyasayataha. Remember? Janmadhyasayata, Unvayadidharadas, Chartesh, Abhinyaswarad. That's a very famous verse, isn't it? The first verse in the Bhagavatam. If you look at the commentaries, Bhashyam on that, by different personalities, Sridharacharya Swamiji took many, many chapters to explain that one verse. That is the potency of that verse, because it has taken from the Brahma Sutram. And Vedavyasa Maharshi began Bhagavatam with that verse, with that Brahma Sutram. It's the second sutram in the Brahma Sutram. He took that, and with that sutram he began Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So just shows that. So what Vedavyasa has done is, he spoke that one truth, Janmadhyase Yado Invayadidharadas Charte Shamitnasunat, right? So it is actually a Yoga Sutram, it is. Yeah? And even though we are calling it as Brahma Sutram, actually it is Yoga Sutram, it is, right? In other words, the Adhishtanam, or the foundation in which, where all our chittavrittis goes and dissolves finally, once for all, where it appears, where it stays, and where it disappears. It has come from that Adhishtanam. Antaryami or Antaryami. From there it has come, and it is there when we are experiencing it. Afterwards it disappears. So chittavritti also, we think that these thoughts are so important, isn't it? Because when the thoughts come, immediately we get victimized by that. Suppose there is a very strong emotion behind that, then you will become much more deeply absorbed in that. And you are thinking that this is all very serious matter. What Krishna is saying here is, chittavrittis are also not real. Real means it doesn't have any permanent existence. It comes and it goes, like a waves in the ocean. We have to learn that. That's how it is. But whereas we have given so much reality to it, And we take that so seriously. And we got all the equipments to, they put heart meter and all meters to measure these kinds of things, what's going on inside. But Krishna's point is that they are also not real, right? So, and that adhishtanam, what Krishna is saying is maunam, in that word here. He said that, isn't it? Manaprasada saumyatvam, maunam. That is that state. It's a very difficult thing to explain, this state of maunam. Because maunam is only two. And because of who have reached that state, they are called muni. People who have reached that state of maunam, they are called muni. Remember, in the second chapter, Krishna mentioned that, is it not? When he said that, what was that verse? You remember people who sleep at night and day for us and night for them, and night for us, them is day for us, that verse. Forget the verse. It's very fair. Everybody reads that verse and they start thinking they may be living in another planet. Yanisha Sarvabhudanam. Yasya Jagrati Samyami. Yasya Jagrati Bhudani. Sanisa Pashyado Mune. In four lines, Krishna put this whole science into these four lines. And he expects us to understand all this. This is how Bhagavad Gita is. If that one verse, Yanisha Sarvabhudanam, Yasya Jagrati Samyami. Yasya Jagrati Bhudani. Sanisa Pashyado Mune. That Muni means one who has got this maunam. One who has reached their state. That is why you will see all Upanishads are conversation between the rishis. Muni means rishis normally. Like Kathopanishad, Najiyadas and Yama. They are all rishis. Right? And then you see Taittiriya Upanishad, Varuna and Bhrigu conversations. And we saw yesterday Mundaka Upanishad, Angiras and Shunaga Rishi. These are all the personalities behind this science. This is another spiritual scientist they are, actually. That they are telling us this is how it is. They have reached that state. Yanisha Sarvabhudanam. Yeah. Krishna is saying in a very simple language, he has put it. But the depth of that verse, it takes so much explanation required. Ajarya Swamiji has written about that page after page, saying this, what it means. Yanisha Sarvabhudanam Yasya Jagrati Samyami Yasya Jagrati Bhudani Sanisha Pashyato Mune, said. Yeah. So the same thing, that it is difficult, right? So when we die, Krishna's point is that in the liberated state, if you die, what remains then is this maunam. And that is the reason, this maunam is reason that you can see people when they get very old, right? They feel like, I just want to leave now. I'll be happy to go, they'll say like this. Is it not? At some stage, everybody will say that. Everybody will say that. It's only a question of time when it will happen. At some point in time, people will say this, I'll be more than happy to go. Don't want to stay here, right? Because, why do we say like that? Why do people say that? Because the taste of the maunam is inside. Everybody has that taste of that maunam inside. And that is why he knows that this body, this life in this world is not his identity. He gets a glimpse of that. And that is why he is saying that at the time of death. Just before the death. Or more or less when he is satisfied with this world, he will say this, I'm more than happy to go. Had enough of all these worlds, what I have seen this year, and it's not any more attractive to me. That thoughts will come to him in a natural way. This is all natural things happening to us, right? So everything is over then, right? And at that time you can see that person has become freedom from that ahangaram. Ahangaram is practically is dying within himself, right? Within himself, that ahangaram is dying. And that is the proof of that. That is the proof of that. So, In the Praudhanubhuti, which we discussed before, long ago, it is there on the website. Few verses only. In there, I am not this body. Krishna mentioned this in the Bhagavatam in a different way. How did he do that? That he said that Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugatim Vinakti. You will see in the Agadisha Skandam. Krishna using that statement. Acharya Chaitya Vapusha Sugatim Vinakti means that people who are in the very deep inside, very deeply gone inside, they are saying that the Atma himself comes in the form of Guru. Andaryami comes in the form of Guru outside, and this mind, he pushes it inwards through his explanation to all these Bhagavad Gita verses, right? And that power which does that, pushing our attention from the world towards the Andaryami, he is the one, it is the same force who is sitting inside us and remove that avidya from us and gives us the self-realization. Who gives the self-realization? Surupa Bodham. So, Andaryami comes outside in the form of a guru and he turns our attention inwards. Attention means Shraddha or our mind, inwards, making the mind to look inwards, changing the habit, right? And that same power, Shakti of the Andaryami, is the same one which since stays inside and removes our ignorance, avidya, from inside and give us self-realization. And that is what that process Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugatim Vinakti. Andaryami is the Acharya, he is the Chaitya Guru, and he is the one Sugatim Vinakti, take you to the right destination, right? So, after saying that, therefore, for a person who is looking for self-realization, a spiritual master, even higher than his mother or father, or the person who is looking for self-realization, right? See, family members and all, what they can give you maximum? They can give you some sense gratification in this world, some sense enjoyment, right? Or when you are in trouble, they can console you, give you some relief by saying some few nice words to you, right? But they don't know the reality. Why Guru is superior to the parents? This is what he is explaining there. Why Guru is superior to the parents? Parents cannot give you that knowledge, what Guru can give. Is it not? Guru can only do this much. Sorry. Parents can only do so much. They can give you some relief when you are in difficulties, and they can give you some happiness in this world. Beyond that, most of the parents don't do anything more than that. What the parents do is they bring them also into our miserable world, and we engage them also, and then we feel that we have done our job, and we feel happy with that. So this is the avidya inside us, how it is working. What Krishna is saying here, Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugatim Vinakti. Acharya, his role is totally different. He is capable of coming out and turning our attention, our mind inwards, towards Andaryami, and remove the avidya from inside as Andaryami, remove the avidya, and give us finally the self-realization. So obviously from that itself you can see Guru's position and the position of the parents. Parents' position is nothing compared to what Guru can do. Guru is your ultimate benefactor, one who is doing ultimate benefit. Whereas parents can only do it for you in this lifetime, whatever they have done, that's all. Yeah. So those who think that the parents are not real, conscious of the reality, are they? They are not realized souls. That's all what they know, so they are doing that, right? They are thinking that this world is real, and one who is thinking like that, this world is real, and the cycle has to continue, even then, such a person will never come out of the cycle of birth and death, says Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad says that. So the only person who gives you that higher understanding of life, what life is about, and who is going to help you in the highest level of the Antaryami level, that's Guru, right? And that Guru, that is what in this Praudanubhuti first verse, Sattachil Sukharupam Asti Sadadam Naham Najatvam Rusha Nedam Babi Jagat Pradrashtam Akhilam Nastidi Jani Hibho Yel Proktam Karunavasha Toimaya Talsatya Medat Spudam Shraddhat Swanaga Shuddha Buddhi Rasiyan Matrastude Samshaya. Praudanubhuti is saying that in order to broadcast this truth of the position of the Guru, right? Because Guru feels so much compassion for the disciple, due to that he is saying there, here this is that, right now, here itself, let your attention be fixed on the Antaryami inside, right? And that awareness inside, I exist. How do you experience the presence of Antaryami? From our astitvam. I am existing. I am, I am, I am. That existence feeling, that's coming from Antaryami, right? And that is the sattachil sukharupam asti sadatam, right? In there, if one can, so going back to Antaryami means being established in that state of awareness, bodham. I am existing in that way. So, so, matrastude samshaya. So this Brahma Vidya, this is all called Brahma Vidya. All this is Brahma Vidya, right? When we get an opportunity to hear about this, give some Shraddha to that, more Shraddha towards that, right? And also understand that this Brahma Vidya, what it does to us at the end, right? That to realize that this world as I am perceiving today is not the reality. It's not the reality. And you see, Krishna says to us like this. Krishna says that you have to take the shelter of Shastram first. There is no alternative to that. Yeah. Because Adhyatma Shastram, Bhagavad Gita is Adhyatma Shastram, isn't it? Adhyatma Shastram, only by developing bhakti towards the Shastram and surrendering to the Shastram, Shastram will become clear inside. Otherwise it won't happen, right? So this Antaryami's nature is, he would not allow a second thing to exist because he knows he alone exists. That is why when any vigalpam comes, it gets kicked out from inside. You see, when thought waves comes, it is not staying with us permanently, is it not? It will come, strong force will come, give you a lot of trouble, disturbance and everything. Why does it leave us, thoughts? The reason why thoughts leave us is because Antaryami won't allow anybody inside to get closer to him. This is the power of Antaryami. All thoughts, all emotions, all distresses, all happiness, nothing is staying permanently inside. Why? You have to ask that question, isn't it? You see, we get happy sometimes, isn't it? Suppose you won a lottery, 10 million pounds or something. Suddenly you became so happy. How long? It will last for a few days, and then you share it with everybody else. It's all finished. Go on a few holidays, and gave money to some friends and family members and all. They all became happy. But after a few months or a few years, it's all gone. So if happiness is real, it should stay inside, is it not? Similarly, distress also. Any distress that comes, it's not permanent. It comes, stays for some time. If it is very heavy distress, it may last a little longer, but afterwards it goes away. This problem is because, why it doesn't stay is, Antaryami won't allow anything else to come and stay permanently, because Antaryami knows he alone is permanent. Nobody is permanent. So these are the features through which you have to understand Antaryami. So that's what he's saying here, that that is that called astitvam. Now, only thing what allows is, it allows us to be conscious of all the time that I exist. That is only thing Antaryami allows, astitvam. Our existence is allowed by Antaryami. That will not leave us. And that is why it's not leaving us at any time. When we were born, we know our existence. When we die also, we know our existence. All the way through, we know our existence. And when we leave the body also, we are still existence. Existence is there. So, it allows the existence, and that's exactly what you are seeing in the Sushupti state. In Sushupti, if you analyze that, right, you will see this famous statement in the Kanchana Kamam Kamayadi, Na Kanchana Sopnam Pashyadi. These are all Upanishad statements to tell us what happens when the Antaryami acts. It is like that, right? And Na Kanchana Kamam Kamayadi, there is no desires coming at that stage, right? No desires are coming, no dreams are coming anymore. And Tat Sushuptam, that is Sushupti state. So compare a Sushupti state with vacant state. Then you will know the difference, what Antaryami does to you in the Sushupti. In the vacant state, Antaryami allows you to go through all the suffering in the world and all the happiness of this world. But once you go to Sushupti, Antaryami says, none of that with me. He said, get rid of all that. And nobody can enter into that Sushupti. And that is why they are saying, if you can bring that state of Antaryami in the Sushupti, into the vacant state, you have become free. Then you are no more bound with anything else, right? No kamana comes at that time, right? No kamana comes. So, what is there in Sushupti left then? Only Antaryami. And that stage is called Maunam, what Krishna is calling here. And so, all these rishis, they have touched this Maunam. That's why they are called Munis, isn't it? That's why they are called Munis. So, look at their state of consciousness, what they are at. Imagine that. You can't even imagine ourselves, isn't it? When you think about our condition and their condition. Remember yesterday we were talking about Shaunagrishi. This Shaunagrishi, he's a personality, when we talk about personality, he's a personality with various fields he has entered into. He has gone into Vedam. In the Rigvedam, he comes as the one whole chapter is his chapter. Him and his disciples, Rigvedam, one chapter. And then he has also gone into Angiras Maharshi's disciple he is. From Angiras, he learned Vedantam from him. More than anything else, what he has done is, he wrote a book, it is still available. It is called Shaunaga Shiksha. That book is available, right? That book talks about, he is saying that, how Vedam should be pronounced. He is explaining the phonetic, the phonetic language, phonetic side of that. He explains in that book. All these Vedic scholars, that is an important text for them. Those who recite Vaidya Mantram, right? You see, Veda Mantram, if it is not properly, pronounced, isn't it? Yeah. It has no effect. So, nowadays everybody is chanting Vaidya Mantram and wonder how much effect it has got. They are looking at the book and it's all spoken in. So, people who read that book, they will understand that it is not something to be played about by anyone and everyone. It requires training, years and years of training. In the Gurukulam or in the Veda Padashala, where the teachers will teach the child till they get it right, they will keep telling them and they will do everything. They'll beat them up if they don't say it properly. And they get frustrated, the teachers get frustrated when they pronounce those letters, right? By the mantram. So, mantram has got this problem. Mantram has to be pronounced properly. And if the pronunciation is not right, the mantram is failed. It won't give any. And to explain that to us, the story of Toshtava in Bhagavatam in the sixth canto. Just because a slight mistake happened while pronouncing that Indra Shatro Vivardaswa, that mantram when he chanted, a demon came out from the fire, Vritrasura came out from the fire. Just to show to us how important it is to pronounce the Vaidya Mantram properly. If it is not done, it is no use at all. Better thing not to do it. And this is the same problem what made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to change the Hare Rama mantram into Hare Krishna mantram. Because what happened was, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, is the original mantram. And that mantram is in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. It's the Upanishad mantram it is. So when Mahaprabhu was chanting this mantram, everybody was chanting, the Brahmanas in them days told Mahaprabhu that it is not proper, ordinary people reciting that mantram. So Mahaprabhu said that let them chant the holy name, I will change it to the other way. And he took the Hare Krishna first and made it Hare Rama later. So then it has become more stresses on the holy name rather than the Upanishad mantram. It's not an Upanishad mantram anymore. It's a holy name basically. So even though we may say Upanishad mantram, basically the Upanishad mantram begins with Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they all know this, that mantram, if it is not spoken with the right pronunciation, it has no effect at all. And sometimes if it is spoken in the wrong way, it can misfire also sometimes. What happened with Toshtava and Vishwarupa and that story in the sixth canto. Yeah. So here, what he's saying here is that in that Maunam, yogi is in that Maunam state. Yeah. At that time, our senses are not working, having any problems. Mind is not causing any problem. Everything is under total control. And one who is situated in that Maunam state is called a yogi. And it is in that Maunam state, Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot. In that Maunam state. That is why Krishna was not disturbed at all about anything in the battlefield, right? And similarly, that Maunam of Dakshinamurti, Dakshinamurti's Maunam, Krishna has shown to us in the battlefield what that Maunam means. Dakshinamurti's Maunam, what is spoken in the Dakshinamurti's Sotra. That Maunam. Remember, Dakshinamurti is speaking. In the fourth canto, this is. Dakshinamurti is speaking, and all the Kumaras are sitting, Srinarada Maharshi is sitting there, nothing is spoken, everything is getting transmitted from Andaryami to Andaryami in the Maunam stage. And that Maunam is what Krishna has displayed that in the battlefield, in the Kurukshetram, right? So, and that Maunam is happiness, Anandam, right? We can also get it, provided we get to that stage, right? So, when we fall into the state where all the chittavritti starts coming, right? And when we start going after chittavritti, if we keep going after the chittavritti, then we'll get lost. Chittavritti is a thought wave. And we are thinking that a lot of thinking is required. We got this misconceptions in us, isn't it? A lot of thinking is required. Chittavritti is going to solve the problem, right? So, strictly speaking, you have to start thinking that all chittavrittis are garbage. That's one approach. Or not giving importance to chittavritti anymore. And one who can wipe out things like that, this dust inside, in the form of chittavritti, he is the one, dhuli. Dhuli is this dust inside, right? One who can get rid of that dhuli, he is called avadhuta. Avadhuta, you remember our Dattatreya Maharshi? He's an Avadhuta. Avadhuta means one who can completely wipe out all the chittavrittis from inside. Right? Avadhuta, right? Avadhuta, normally people think Avadhuta means one who is wandering around like a crazy person without any place of residence, without any particular about eating, sleeping and all that. Right? And people have this misunderstanding. Avadhuta means that one who is wanders around without any clothes on, like our Rishabhadev wandered around, Jadabharata. They are all Avadhutas, aren't they? Avadhutas means this, that's not what it means. Avadhuta means, actual meaning of the Avadhuta means that one who has completely wiped out the mind from inside. Mind is this where chittavrittis are all happening. All chittavrittis have gone in that state. You remember when he spoke to Rahugana, Jadabharata said the same thing. Rishabhadev said the same thing. Dattatreya says the same thing. So, that state is called And Krishna also said that in the Bhagavad Gita. Alpa samstam manakrutva na kichidapi chintayet, he said. Bhagavad Gita, earlier verses. Alpa samstam manakrutva na kichidapi chintayet. No more chinda anymore. Chinda is finished. Why? He's settled in the Atma. Atma samstam manakrutva na kinchidapi chindayet. No more chinda. Chinda is finished. We think that chinda is a big thing, isn't it? Chinda has no value when it comes to spiritual self-realization. Chinda, we are trying to get rid of chinda. This chinda has caused all the problems. Too much chinda going on, right? So chittam has gone away and established inside. All gone away, all you are situated in your astitvam, existence, right? Satta, chitta. So, remember this. Satta, chitta, anandam, right? You are situated in the satta. If satta is there, chitta and anandam will be there. Satchit anandam, isn't it? All three are together. And they are all the nature of the antaryami. Satta, chitta, anandam. Chitta and Chitta Shakti, they are two different things. Chitta, what he is talking about is Bodham, awareness inside us. One is existence, Satya. One is Bodham, awareness. One is Anandam, bliss. So, Satya, Chitta, Anandam. The other Chitta, this is one Tha only. The other one is Chitta, two Thas joined together. That Chitta is where all the impressions are in the subtle body. Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. That chittam is the one where it carries all the impressions, vasanas, avidya, everything is in that chittam. This chitta is actually our bodham, existence. Satta, bodham. Satta, chitta, anandam, bodham. And that bodham, awareness, is spoken in a personal form, is Radharani. That is how it comes. Yeah. When we say Krishna and Ramarani are one, sometimes we say, we are wondering what's all this about. People get confused about that, isn't it? Some people will say like that, Krishna and Ramarani, they are all one. And how can that be? We'll ask the question, right? But the fact is this, that actually Sati is there, Chit will be there. Anandam also will be there. Okay. So our existence is there in that Antaryami. How do you know that? That awareness inside, no more movement inside, and it is there in the awakened state, it is in the dream state, and it is there in the deep sleep also. That means once this Antaryami realization comes, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is all about this Antaryami realization. Brihadaranyaka. So in that Antaryami realization, what will happen is that you are conscious, fully aware of the existence of the Antaryami, and you are saying like that, but you are not aware of that in the Sushupti stage, but it existed, right? When you wake up in the morning, you are saying that, oh, I was quite comfortable, I had a good sleep, you say. You give all the credit to the sleep. You don't give credit to the Antaryami who gave you the happiness. You are saying that I had a good sleep. Even there the Ahangaram comes and says, I had a good sleep. But where did the Ahangaram get the good sleep from? Antaryami has given that, right? So, recognizing that vastu, Antaryami, and realizing that is that I am that, Hari Narayanaya Nama, Krishna's mercy that is, right? when chittam comes, chittam means vasanas and other things, when they come out, it won't allow you to give any attention to that, the Antaryami, right? And when chittam is working only, you will inquire about a god outside in the temple. Or go to all the holy places, what we do. Is Krishna there in this temple? Or Krishna there in that temple? Which temple is he present? Where should I pray? All these questions come at that time, right? And it is like this, that when the inquiry is outside for God, like people do, all the inquiry is outside for the God, right? It is like this, right? You have taken the light and you are looking for darkness, where the darkness is. Just you carry the torch in the hand and you are looking, is there anywhere darkness I can find? It is like that. Upanishad says so. Upanishad says like that, right? The light is inside the person who is inquiring. It is within himself, right? And that chitta inside, that is ahampada vachyam, it is in our present inside all of us as the awareness, bodham, and that is prakasham, shuddha chaitanyam. And there is no vikalpam. There is no vikalpam. Vikalpam is this body, mind, intelligence. These are all vikalpams in that chaitanyam when it happens, right? And the more you keep thinking about it, more vikalpam will come from that. And these, all these vikalpam, with all these mind, intelligence, ahankaram, everything together, is called samsaram. This is the subtle aspect of the definition of samsaram. Normally when we say samsaram, what do we say? Samsaram means suffering in this world with friends, family, children, all kinds of prarabdham and everything. That is the gross way of explaining samsaram. The subtle way of saying samsaram is like this. Samsaram means this material existence. In English they call it, isn't it? Samsaram. So samsaram means, normally when we say samsaram, it refers to our problems of this world, all entanglements, what we have got involved in this world, and responsibilities, what we think we have got, and all the obligations, what we have. All these things, and that's what you keep running whole life, completely fulfilling all the needs of the samsara. So with all these things, that's the external way of explaining samsara. Samsara dhava na nalitha loka. Most of the people, devotees understand it that way. But this samsaram, what he is saying here, is that this body, mind, intelligence, everything working continuously, and all this vikalpam building up inside, different kinds of vikalpam, all of them combined, put together, is a samsaram, real samsaram, right? Vikalpams that is coming inside, vikalpam that is coming inside, all those things, then similarly the family and all the problems related to family life and this world outside, the problem, all of that is all coming from the thoughts inside. They create all these problems, right? And that is what all the media does. Media gives you samsaram in a big dose every day. If you make friendship with the media, right? Sitting here, we don't know what America means to us now, or what Australia means, right? Or Africa, nothing, right? But when you constantly hear about that, normally, suppose there was no news media, there was no news, no media at all, you won't be worried about America, would you? What's happening, what Trump is doing there, you won't be worried about it. Because the media is there, everything what is happening in the whole planet is inside us now. It has got inside us, right? And that way, chittavrittis have started with that. And this we will understand, that delusion, as we get more and more clarity, that I have nothing to do with it. What is happening? It's not only this planet, billions and trillions of planets exist. Suppose the news media is reporting from all those planets also, what will happen to us? Imagine then. Yeah. So it is like this. In my real existence, America doesn't exist, Africa doesn't exist, Australia doesn't exist. But I have put them inside me and I am suffering, creating chitavrti, and I suffer from that. Yeah. So, in fact, between a husband and a wife, if you look at it, right? Seriously, if you look at it, for a husband, even a wife is a stranger then. When you understand it, when you come to that level of realization, for a husband, even the wife is a stranger, right? It will never be possible for a husband to know the wife completely, or a wife to know the husband completely. Although we say in mundane world, they are all one and they are all together happily and all that. In reality, there is no connection between husband and wife, strictly speaking. In the spiritually advanced state, there is no relationship. This is all temporary social arrangements in order to live in this world. That's all it is, nothing more than that, right? So, similarly, parents think, oh, I know about my son, I know about my children. What do they know about their children? You don't know anything about your children. Their prarabdham, their vasana, their life is going their own way, right? You think that you know about them because for a long period of time due to association, right, you will start realizing that you won't know them. After a long time, you will get to know that you won't know them. Because after a certain stage, when they make decisions, when they start doing things, you start realizing that you don't know them, how they have made the decisions, right? So, lot of things, what without our knowledge is staying in their mind, without your knowledge, right? And that's what is called Maya. What does Maya mean? Maya means what you can never know, that is called Maya. Things what you can never know, that's called Maya, right? What to talk about all those things? Do you know about your own body, first of all? How much do you know about your own body, right? Why am I carrying this heavy weight all the time, everywhere, carrying this, right? I don't know about my own body even, right? I study a lot of things about this body in the science, in the college and all that, right? And you're asking the doctor about the problems of this body, right? I cannot know my problems myself and I'm going and asking the doctor. I'm carrying this body 24 hours, 24/7, throughout the life, and I cannot find it out. And I'm going and asking the doctor about the solution to the problem, right? So, completely independently, without the help of any book, purely by the mercy of the Antaryami, knowing your own existence, that is called Astitva, Satta. You see the problem? Satta means you don't know, get to know about Satta from the book. You don't get to know about it from education. Nor with the help of any other external source. Purely by the presence of Antaryami, you get to know your existence. Astitvam. Right? And that is how it is spoken about Antaryami here. About Antaryami here. So we'll have a break, we'll continue afterwards.
Cheto Darpanamarjanam Bhomaha Davagninurvabanam Shreyakaitava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandambudhi Vardhanam Pradipada Purnamradaswadhanam Sarvatna Supanambaram Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namnamagari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Edadrashita Vakriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Janinanuragaham Trinara Vishuni Jena Tarorabi Sahishnuda Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasada Hari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhakti Rahai Dugitvai Ai Nandadanu Jagingaram Padidamam Shami Bhavam Budau Kribayatava Pada Pangajasthita Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Gada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarubdhaya Gaya Pulagair Nijadam Gada Vabuttava Namagrahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Varahename Ashlishava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karyotuva Yatha Tathava Vidada Dulambado Matpranatha Sunayavana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda.
So, our existence, astitvam, that's a word for that. Astitvam means that completely without the help of anything in this, either by a book or by education or by any other external help what we know, our existence. That is called astitvam, our astitvam, right? Or because Antaryami has got that power to make us aware of that, our existence. That's coming from Antaryami, that we exist, isn't it? I am, that feeling all the time, I exist. That astitvam doesn't leave us any time. Even if you want to get rid of that, it's not possible, it will come back to you. Okay, you can make you unconscious by sedation or by anesthetic thing, drugs and all that. But you are still not losing that astitvam. Astitvam, you cannot get rid of it from that. And that is the beauty of Antaryami. You will see that in the in this Akhamarshana Mantram, which is a mantram they use while bathing. Brahmanas recite this mantram while they are bathing. Ardram jaladi jyotir ahamasmi. Jyotir jaladi brahmahamasmi. Yohamasmi brahmahamasmi. Ahamasmi brahmahamasmi. Aham evaham mam juhomi swaha. That is called Akhamarshana Mantram. This mantram is recited by the Brahmanas while bathing. Not today, in the olden days when Brahmanyam was there strongly, right? What does it mean? What it says is that that lamp is burning inside in the form of ahamasmi, aham, 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 awareness, bodham inside. And that is what Krishna is saying, also the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the fifth chapter, the same thing, Krishna puts it in another way. Krishna says that the, if you look at the 17th verse in the fifth chapter, Tad buddhaya tadalkmanam tannishta talparayana gacchandi abhinaravarti jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. That verse. Tad buddhaya tadalkmanam tannishta talparayana gacchandi abhinaravarti jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. Right? The nature of this Antaryami is it's always eternally liberated. It is not bound. Antaryami is not bound. Right? And that is why Vedanti says like this. This is the important thing. All other processes, he says, you have to do sadhana and then you have to realize the truth. Vedantam says, you don't have to do sadhana. Vedantam insists on that. If you really, the message gets in, immediately you realize the truth. Only thing is, inside you have to be ready for receiving the message. So all the sadhana is done only to preparing ourselves to receive the message, basically, right? If the spiritual master is a realized soul, and the disciple is qualified, immediately it will happen. That is what Krishna is also saying in the Ekadasha Skandam. You remember? Yeah. In the 10th chapter, when he discussed in the Ekadasham, Krishna told Uddhava that if the spiritual master is self-realized, and if the devotee is, the disciple is ready for it, to receive the message, immediately it will happen. Realization will happen to the disciple. He said that in the 10th chapter, right? So Vedantam is particular about this. They are saying that if the guru is qualified and the disciple is qualified for that, self-realization must happen immediately. There is no question of sadhana and all that. But when the guru is not qualified, disciple is also not qualified, it will keep on dragging on life after life till that happens, right? So, with the properly, if the Shravanam happens from the Guru, and if there is sufficient Shraddha in the disciple, if that both happens, then instantaneously self-realization will happen. And he will get liberated. And that is what you find in the Bhagavadam also. You see, what happened was, when the Brahmachari, Shamiga Rishi's son, Sringi cursed him, "You got 7 days life." Sringi told him, "You got 7 days life." Two brahmacharis from Shamigrishi's ashram came to the palace and told Parikshit that this has happened. You have been cursed by the son of the Rishi, that you have got 7 days time left. So Parikshit thought about this. Now what do I do for the 7 days now? Only 7 days is left. So what should I do? He went there and sat in the river bank, in Ganga River. He knew that sitting in the palace was not good because it is not helpful for spiritual life. You see, even they are so sensitive to these things. That's why he immediately walked out from the palace. And he thought that the ideal place will be somewhere Ganga River nearby, if I can sit near the Ganga and think about what to do about it. And he sat there. And a lot of people came when they all heard. Parikshit was the emperor of the planet then, right? So a lot of great personalities heard that Parikshit is going to, has been cursed and he's going to leave the body in 7 days' time. So they all came to see him and they wanted to be with him and to see what is happening, what's going to happen to him. And he decided to fast. What we call it as, prayobhavesham. He decided prayobhavesham, right? So he sat there. And then yogis came, great yogis came, great jnanis came, great rishis came. And then his father came, Vedavyasa Maharshi himself came. And Narada Maharshi came, they all came. And he was asking them, what should I do now? I got 7 days left. What should I do? So different people gave him different ideas. Somebody said you should perform yagam, yajnam, homam. And somebody said ashtanga yogam. Somebody said you should perform sacrifices. All kinds of various things. What they thought is ideal for him, they were giving it to him. In 7 days' time, what can you do? So when he was thinking and sitting down like this, not knowing, making a decision what way to go further, Krishna's arrangement to send Shukabrahmarshi there. When Shukabrahmarshi came there, what did he say to him? He says, why are you worried about it? You still have 7 days, haven't you? It's more than enough, he said. That, you look at the second canto, you read the first chapter, that's how he answered that. From that you can understand, Shukabrahmarshi was so confident that it doesn't require so much time what we think we do. We are thinking that so many lifetimes we have to come and do all these things. But the difference is, it is Shukabrahmarshi who was speaking and it is Parikshit who was listening. That was the difference. So 6-7 days, he continuously spoke all kinds of stories. Some of them totally real, some of them are a little bit exaggerated also. In this way, Bhagavatam started like that. For 6-7 days, he spoke like that. When the time was going to run out, Shukabrahmarshi decided that this is the time now, give it to him and he'll be alright after that. And that is that 12th canto, 5th chapter, Brahmavadesham. So Brahmavadesham took only 4-5 minutes practically, the 13 verses in that. And then Parikshit was realized and gone. So what does it mean? It means that Vedantam is right in that point. That Vedantam saying that you don't require a lot of time for self-realization, provided the spiritual master is a realized soul, the disciple is fully qualified for the for receiving that message. Yeah. So, and he will be realized. Oh. So, and that is why you see that in that chapter, how, what's his name, Parikshit responded to that. What did he say to him? Parikshit said to him that when he heard this message, Parikshit says, Parikshit's response you should see. Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, bhavada karunalpana, shravido yachame sakshal, anadi nidhano hari. He is saying this, right? And he said that Bhagavam tachakadibhyo, the 4-5 verses you have to look at. 12, 6, 2 to 7. 12, 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is how Parikshit responded when Shukabrahmarshi spoke to him about this. He says, Natyadbudamaham Manye, Mahadam Achudalpanam, Atnyeshu Tavadapteshu Budeshu Yadanugraha. By your mercy, you come here. And then Bhagavam Takshakadibhyo Mrityubhyona Bibhemyaham. I'm not frightened about Takshaka or death either. It doesn't bother me at all. Why? Pravishto Brahmanurvanam Abhayam Darshidam Twaya. I have already realized the truth. I have become Brahman. Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Twaya. I have reached that state of fearlessness. Abhayam Darshidam Twaya. By your mercy, I have got it. So, how long did it take all these things? So, 13 verses in the last chapter, and this taken immediately, this was the response from Parikshit. So, it was given in few minutes, it was received in few minutes, it was all over. The business was over, right? So that is how it is. That's all it takes for self-realization, right? Abhayam darshan. Because what it means is, he says, if there is a second thing existing separately from me, only then I have to be frightened about it. There is no second thing existing. Yeah? He's saying there, Bhagavan Tachaga is a second thing. Right? And death is another thing. They are not real. Tachaga is not real. Death is not real. He has come to that realization. That's what he's saying there. Parishit is saying to Shukubrahmarshi, only if there is a second, remember what I was saying, Andaryami, when you realize Andaryami, what happens? Andaryami's nature is, it doesn't allow a second thing to exist. Death is another second thing. It's not real. It's a second thing existing. So death doesn't exist in Andaryami. Once you realize Andaryami, there is no death. There is no fear either. And there is no Tachaga either. So that's what, with full confidence, Parishit said this to Shukabrahmarshi. Bhagavam Tachagadibhyo Mrityubhyo Na Bhivemyaham Pravishto Brahmanurvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya, he said. So, you have to be frightened. Always fear is inside us. Why are we fearful? Fearful because that there is a feeling of another thing existing. Mrityu exists. That's what we are fearful of. Death is coming, getting old. Any moment death can come. And then you become fearful. Why? Because in our awareness, in Bodham, we are feeling that a second thing existing. That second thing existing, in strictly speaking, only Bodham exists. No second thing, right? Everything else existing, that feeling is called Vigalpam. If something existing separately from you, that's called Vigalpam, right? And when there is Vigalpam, Bhayam will come. You remember Navayogi said the same thing, isn't it? The first verse itself, who said? Nimi, no, Kavi Maharshi. Kavi Maharshi said, Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal, ishada vedasa vipariyos prati. All this is showing the same thing. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal, ishada vedasa vipariyos prati. As soon as you realize the second thing is existing, you have to become fearful. You will become fearful. From the second thing, you will become fearful. Right? So, and the same thing in Kathopanishad also, if you look, you will see, Ashariram shariram va, Ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastidam, Mahandam vibhu altmanam matva dhirona shochati. Kathopanishad words, stressing the same thing, right? So, if you go and hold on to body, body is anavastidam, body has no existence. We are holding on to the body, body is not holding us. We are holding on to the body. That's a difficult part to understand. Body, we got the body because of our actions, right? Different types of things, what we did in different lifetimes, stayed in the vasana, we did karmam, and then karmam created karma vasana, and karma vasana will not go away, and that created prarabdham, prarabdham created the body. So, ultimately, we are responsible for creating this body the way it is, right? So whatever you do, if you go and hold on to the body, then that is what Upanishad is saying, anavastidam. Ashariram shariram shu sharireshu anavasteshu avastidam. It is anavasteshu avastidam. It is anavastidam. In other words, if you go and hold on to the body, nothing can be done. What can you do, right? Whatever you may do, you may can go to the hospital, to the GP, to the pharmacy, but ultimately you have to say tata to all these things. to the doctors also you have to say bye-bye. To the GP also you have to say, to the pharmacy also, and to all the medicines also, right? But this Chaitanyam inside us, Andaryami inside us, if you have developed that faith in that Andaryami, and the Shraddha, and the Bhakti. Even if you believe in that, even if you have not got it, just by believing in that itself is, you will get some strength from that. Believing in the existence of the Andaryami and the Atma. Even though you may not have realized it fully, but just by believing with Shraddha and Bhakti, if you accept that Andaryami's presence, that will bring happiness, anandam and strength, right? That means you start accepting that you are Chaitanyam, not this body. not this body. And Chaitanya means Purna Vastu. It's perfect, right? And also gradually realizing that I have no connection with this body. I have no connection with this body. Right? This is the way we have to groom ourselves in our mind. We have to groom in that way, right? So, and Vivekananda said that body is a superstition, he says. Body is a superstition, he says, right? Whatever you can say about it, he said. But actually, body is not real. He kept saying this, insisting. All it does is creates a lot of problems, and then it goes, right? And that is why, you know, when Krishna said that, in the end of Ekadasha Skandam, in the 28th chapter, when he was closing it down, he told Uddhava the same thing. In the 28:5, verse 5, Chaya pratyahvaya bhasam asando pyarthakaryanam evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. That verse. If you understand that verse, that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasam. It is an abhasam, it is. Abhasam means it's a kind of a shadow thing, this body on our real self. Yeah? Chaya means shadow. Pratyahvaya bhasam asando bhi arthakaryanaha evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. All it does is shadow and its echo, right? Abhasa means reflection, you can say, cinema and all that. Or you know that cinema is not real, is it not? Cinema is not real, isn't it? It's a film you have shot somewhere, you created that and put the reel on the in front of the camera, and then it's projected onto the screen. And people come and sit and watch there, and they get affected by that. Just seeing on the reel, they know that, they also know, though, who are watching that, that it's not real. But still they get affected by that. Some people, if their hero gets killed in the movie, they get very upset about it. Their hero got killed. In all Indian movies also, you'll see the same thing. And so, this is what Krishna is saying. Chaya pratyakhaya bhasam asando pyarthakaryanam. Right. So, in the same way, Krishna is saying that everybody knows it's not real. We also know this life is not real, but we get affected by the life. Just like when you watch the movie, you know it is not real, but you get affected by the movie. You know, especially when you see in the movie all these Purani personalities, how Ravana comes with the 10 heads, and Ramachandra comes nicely dressed. And that person who acted as Ramachandra, everybody was offering obeisances to him. He has no qualities of Ramachandra. But who acted as Ramachandra, when they came out of the theater, when they heard that the person who has acted Ramachandra had come, they started offering obeisances to him. This is how people are. So who is real? What is real now? Imagine that. Similarly, same thing with Sita Devi also. Who has acted Sita Devi has impressed them so much that when the actress who acted as Sita Devi, she is some Bollywood actress, and she has come and all the people offering obeisances to her. So even though it's not real, the effect is there. And this is how spiritual life also. In our Bhava Mandalam, if we can create the world, what Vedavyasa Maharshi has created, then you will also have the same benefit. Kadamahamste, kadhyamahamste, kathitam mahiyasam. That verse in the 12th canto. That's what he's saying. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vipo, vajo vipo dirnadu paramartyam. They are not real. 100% it's not history. It's not real. But if you study this, what will happen is vijnanam vairagyam will come. Two things. Vijnanam vairagyam will come. Right? So, in the same way, when even though we know this world is not real, and we also know that our connection with the world is so temporary, and we also know that it is not going to be with us for all the time. One day we will also say goodbye and go. And still, this fear of existence is not leaving us. Thinking about the life in this world, how do I am going to manage? And that fear, it sometimes overwhelms people, right? Similarly, Krishna is saying here that evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Similarly, this body also is a bhavam in us. Dehadeyo bhavam, right? Deham, body is a bhavam. It is inside us. It has gone in so deeply, we are very concerned about it. Similarly, with the mind as well. Dehadeyo bhavam. They are all bhavam. And they will create at the time of death. They will create problems at the time of death. All these things, body, mind, things like that, right? Therefore, what is the solution? Solution is this, that you should not wait for knowledge to come in. It's not going to come from outside. It's already there inside and it is available to us, and that is how Upanishads puts it that way. Satyam jnanam anandam brahmam. It is satyam, it is jnanam, it is anandam, it is brahmam. That way. In other words, without any change, it is already inside us, and that awareness, that jnanam inside, that's called prajna. Prajnanam brahmam. Prajna, that's what it's called, right? It's already there, only thing we have not experienced it yet. That's all it is. It's already there. Because antaryami is there, jnanam is there, right? So, and antaryami means perfection. Perfection is only in antaryami. Why is it perfect? Purnada, purnatvam. Why is it perfect? Because it does not allow anything else. And nobody can do anything about with it, with antaryami, right? So, therefore, it says here, edadde vedavihidam guhayam. When it is present inside us in that way, this avidya grandhi, that is what's called avidya, isn't it? Avidya grandhi means not realizing him, but realizing this body, mind, senses, everything as the self. Yeah. So that avidya grandhi, when avidya grandhi breaks down, you remember vidyade hrdaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya. Upanishads are coming in and out all the time in Bhagavatam, in different places. In the first canto, second chapter itself, he said, vidyade hrdaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya kshiyande chasya karmani drishto evalpanishvare. And in the same verse came again in the 8th canto, in the first chapter, drishto eva paravare. In the Upanishad also the same words. So Upanishad is the same thing, 8th canto is saying the same thing, 1st canto is saying the same thing, all about that hrdaya grandhi, which is called avidya. Which is called avidya, right? So what it says is that this avidya grandhi means that something exists separately from me, that brahman, that delusion in us. I am separate, others are all separate from me. That feeling goes away because Atma is one. Atma is one. Atma, in Atma there is no dvaitam. Atma there is no dvaitam, right? A second thing doesn't exist, right? And that is what that advayam stage, what mentioned in the advayam, what mentioned about Atma in the beginning. Advaya jnanam, yeah. Vadanti tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam, it said. No second thing exists. Advaya jnanam it is. That awareness, no second thing existing. Advaya jnanam, right? So, if the mind goes to that realization that gets there, and then for that andarmukhatvam is required, and then getting established in that, Krishna called that as Atma Vinigraham, right? So, its explanation is that, yeah, like what he said there in the 6th chapter also. That 6th chapter talks a lot about realized state. What Krishna said that, you won't get there immediately. Shanai shanai ruparamed buddhya dhriti grihidaya alma samstam manakritva. When the mind has gone inside and got established in the Andaryami, that's what it means. Alma samstam manakritva na kinchidapi chindayet. After that, no more thoughts are coming inside. No more thoughts coming inside. Now, if you say this to ordinary people outside, they will think there's something wrong. Because most of the people think this thinking is a big thing, they think, in life, is it not? You have to be very thoughtful. You have to think about a lot of things in this world.
And all intellectual people, they are all thinking a lot of things. And from we got so many things by their thinking power. People think like that, is it not? Whereas what does Krishna says? Atma samstam mana kritva na kinchit api chintayet. All thinking stops there. No more thinking after that. Once the mind is gone inwards and established in the Atma. Atma samstam mana kritva na kinchit api chintayet. No more thinking after that. Krishna is saying like that, right? So that is why those verses are important, right? Even if you don't know any other verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you should know that one verse. What does it mean? If the mind goes and finally dissolves in the Antaryami. Atma samstam mana kritva na kinchit api chintayet. But Krishna said, shanai shanai uparamet. Gradually it has to happen in that way. Buddhya dhriti grihidaya atma samstam mana kritva na kinchit api chintayet. So that verse is the commentary for yoga. What yoga means? Yoga means that, right? Keep mind, establish the mind in the Atma, right? Not thinking, no more thinking, no more thoughts, right? And in that Atma samstam means Atma will do everything else. Then you don't have to worry about anything. That itself is the Tattvam. That means me who is inside and when you start inquiring who I am, that awareness inside, that astitvam, existence, that is Sachidanandam. And Sachidanandam, another word they used is asti bhadi priyam. Three things, right? So satta chitta anandam, another way of saying that is asti bhadi priyam. It is exist. Asti means existence. Bhadi means it is shining, prakasham. And anandam is shanti, priyam, right? Anandam is its swarupam. And through nididhyasanam, shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, during the nididhyasanam stage, in loneliness, when one sits, and one who has practiced this inquiry process of the self, atmavicharam, and again in the jnana sadhana, you have to bring the mind under control in that way. And purely out of practice, abhyasam, and abhyasavashad, pakko mano brahmani liyate, resanubhavyam, all this is yogam, Krishna is saying, continuous abhyasam. That is the jnana sadhana process. Bhakti sadhana, continuously surrendering to Krishna. Jnana sadhana, continuously inquiring process, practicing it with the mind, one who has the strength to do that. If that is no strength available, then continuous surrendering to Krishna. That either way, it is say end result is the same, right? Abhyasam. So what you are doing actually is, little by little, by your effort, you are making the mind more pakvam, perfection, mind to perfection, right? So, if you do like that, what will happen is you will develop a culture within yourself, right, for the mind. That means you go wandering around here or there. Wherever you go and sit somewhere, you will see these thoughts will keep coming. Continuously, if you have practiced that, this self-inquiry process of the jnanis, right? And your mind becomes a meditative mood. It builds up. Because you started feeling that the Antaryami is there, and that's your identity, and you kept on thinking about it, it becomes a practice in itself, right? And that becomes like you're chanting the holy name. It becomes a practice. Atmavicharam, right? And every time when you think about the Antaryami, ahankaram will disappear. So that's a way of getting rid of ahankaram. Think about the Antaryami, and ahankaram will disappear, because ahankaram is a thief. He is like, they say, this ahankaram is like a thief dressed like a policeman. That's how it is. He is not real. He is a thief who has come. So this ahankaram will disappear when you start identifying with the Antaryami, right? And so basically they say there is a sacrifice going on inside. For a jnani, this is all for a jnani, homam or savanam. And chittavrittis are continuously being offered into that fire, right? And that is what we call it as samyamanam, samyami, right? Constant meditation with withdrawing the mind, and that becomes a habitual thing then. Wherever you go, the mind will not find any happiness in the world outside. It will go inward. That's at a later stage it will happen by training. You're training the mind in that way. That mind loses attraction for the world and it constantly go inwards, right? So, and in a natural way, the chitta means that satya chitanandam, in that chit, it goes and settles down there. So, so jnanis follow one process, devotees follow another process, but ultimately the purpose is this thing, to bring the mind somehow or the other and offer it to the Antaryami and disappears there, everything, right? So, so this is called yogarudham. Yogarudham means you are gradually making that process success. Chittam goes and goes into subhavam. And wherever you sit there, mano navritti paramopashanti. You will see that the mind is not causing any more problems after that, because it has found the shelter there and it is going and disappearing there, right? So this mind, normally, which is wandering around in this world, able to pull out from that and making the mind to settle down in the Antaryami, and and that is why that name comes from that, Manikarnika. You remember? In the Kashi, in Benares, if you go, there is a ghat, Snana ghat. It's called Manikarnika Ghatam. Manikarnika is that, referring to that. Yeah. So, Jnana Prabhava Vimaladi Ganga. So, ultimately, in heart, in that Shuddha Bhodam, and Ganga River is that knowledge. River Ganga is compared to knowledge. Yamuna is compared to bhakti. Yamuna is compared to bhakti, right? So, Ganga starts flowing inside, and at that time, all other chittavrittis goes away, and that maunam, bodham, starts manifesting, right? So, that srodas is Ganga. We say, in the Puranic language, we say that this Ganga river comes from Lord Shiva's head. After it has come from the spiritual world, it fallen onto his gang and flow like that. This is all the Pauranika side of it. The Adhyalpam side of it, the spiritual side of it is this. Ganga means knowledge. That knowledge starts flowing inside, right? So, all the liberated souls, yogis, they're all Jivan Muktas, like. So, so, it fills inside the Antaryami side, the full side. It's filled there, Ganga, and it comes through the head and comes to the heart and fills in there. And that's why it is said like this, that the it comes from the sky, from Agasha Ganga, they call it. It comes from the spiritual world. This is all the Pauranic way of saying. But when you come to Vedantam, it gives, takes a different explanation to that, yeah. In the Puranam, we say like this, that when Lord Brahma washed the feet of Krishna, that it went and touched the Vamanamurti's feet, went and touched this outer covering of the universe. Yeah, shell of the universe. It broke open, and through that Ganga fall into this world. And this is the way Puranams will say like this. That's the only way people will understand. Otherwise, if you say all the other things, they will think, they will all blink. What is this all about? So, Pauranic way of saying things is there. And then, when it came to Puranam, it has become like this. In the Upanishads, it is like the other way. That Ganga river comes, right? Akasha Ganga. And this Mauinam inside us, which is steadily present there, gives that shanti, anandam, and keep maintaining that maunam inside is tapasya. And ahangara vritti, what is dissolved there in that ahangaram, and where maunam is present, that is a yoga state. Tapasya, Krishna calls it, right? So, this maunam, what is present inside, is what the topic Krishna is going to say in this chapter finally about this maunam, and that is the next verse he's going to talk about, right? And that is what is called Om Tat Sat. This Om Tat Sat, you must have seen that in all the books also, at the end you will see Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat. People ask, what does this all mean, Om Tat Sat? Om Tat Sat means this state, what it is called, right? So Om Tat Sat means Upadesham. Upadesham means the instructions, right? Upasamibe Vishadi. In other words, Upanishad word, what it means is Upasamibe Vishadi. When you are inquiring about the truth all over the world, by causeless mercy of Krishna, he came in the form of a spiritual master and he took you out from this world by self-realization. Yeah? And he is telling us that the truth you are looking outside is inside you. And that is what's called Tattvamasi. The Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, right? Om Tat Sat, it is this Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is spoken in another way, is Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat is another way of saying Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, right? For all Vaidika Karmam, they will use this Om Tat Sat, right? It is a auspicious, saying auspiciousness in one way, Om Tat Sat, but at the same time, it's a Mahavakyam as well in the Upanishad. Tad Bhavale Brahmam, in other words, Brahmam is present in you as a Sat, as your very existence. And if you have realized that you are that Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi, in other words. So understand this, that the this particular verse, what Krishna is saying here, in this 23rd verse, Om Tat Siddhi Nirdesham. I know this is a difficult verse to explain. How much can you explain all these things? Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesham Brahmanastadi Trivita Smrita Brahmanastena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihita Pura. Om Tat Sat. In this way, Brahman is defined. Om Tat Sat. Right? With that name itself, Brahmanas, Vedam, and all the sacrifices were created in the beginning. With these three words, Brahmanas, Vedam, and the sacrifices. Om Tat Sat Esha Nirdesham Nirdishyade Anene Idi Nirdesham Trividho Nama Nirdeshaha Brahmanaha Smridaha Chindyado Vedandeshu Brahmavidbi Brahmanaha Tena Nirdeshena Trividhena Vedaha Chayatnyaha Chabihidaha Nirmidaha Pura Purvamidi Nirdesha Stutyartam Uchyade. Self-realized souls, they define Brahmam in the Upanishads with these three words, Om, Tat, Sat, right? And it is from these three words, Om, Tat, Sat, all Vedam has come and all Yajnam has come from time immemorial, says. That's what Krishna is saying. Om, Tat, Sat, Iti Nirdesham, Brahmanas, Trividas, Smridaha, Brahmanastena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihidapura. Yajnascha Vihidapura. So, Brahmana who have studied the Vedam or who have realized the Vedam, Upanishads and the Yajnam is all the same thing. One thing only it is. It's the same Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is spoken in Brahmanas who have realized the Vedam and Upanishads in the Vedam and all the Yajnam in the Vedam is all the same thing. And that is the Mahavakyam. And this is the one thing what you have to realize, that it is, that's the one what you are also, the same thing. The one what you have to realize is ultimately who you are in the end, right? In other words, it is me, the same Antaryami, who is present in this different forms as Brahmana, who has studied the Vedam, and also the Upanishads in the Vedam, and similarly all the Yajnam. I can only say all these things because we will all start thinking what this is all about, isn't it? It's beyond our comprehension even, what to talk about realization. Even we can't even comprehend it, what they are saying, is it not? So I'm saying that the rishis, to come to this level, how far they have traveled in spiritual life, to come to this realization, yeah? So they are saying like this, that this Mahavakyam is saying to us, all these Vedam, Upanishads, and similarly all the Brahmanas who have studied all the Vedam, and all the sacrifices that has been spoken in the Vedam, Karmagandam and all other things, it's all only nothing but you, he says. How do you explain that, right? So, actually that is a realized state. But what has happened is, we, out of our mind, we have created thoughts in us. And due to that thoughts, we have created this world. And all the other different namarupam and different entities. And then we became more and more corrupted by the world and by our mind and by thoughts. And we fallen away from that truth, from the truth. So Maya has done all these things. Maya original state is, we are not different from the Vedam, Upanishads, Brahmanas, everything, Yajnam, everything, right? What Maya has done is, Maya took us away from that and put us into this confused state where we are now, right? And Maya is like that. It will create some problems and then it will tell us, keep thinking about it to find a solution. This is what Maya does to us. Maya creates a problem and asks us to think about it and to find a solution, and she enjoys it after putting us into that, right? Only in that situation, only a self-realized person who is not in Maya, he has to tell us that nischalo bhava. That nischalo bhava means that stop your thinking business and to come out of that thinking process, right? And because of this thinking business, this is all heated up, this brain, right? And this nischalatvam, that means that peaceful state, when it comes, you have to, the tirtham, or from that liquid or water, what you have used, with that water, you have to wash the whole place inside, right? And whenever you see Ganga river coming from Lord Shiva's head, this is what that is indicating. You have seen the photograph, Ganga coming out of Lord Shiva's head. What does it mean? It means this, that the moon is the bhakti. In Lord Shiva's head you see both, isn't it? The moon you see, you also see the water Ganga coming out. Both of the, either through the moon or through the Ganga, Lord Shiva is teaching us, you have to wipe out all this thinking business and go back to your Swarupam. That's all it is, right? One is cold. Which one? The moon is cold. So basically, Vedantam is nothing but yogam or sannyasam. All means the same thing, ultimately, realizing this, right? So, anything that is forcing us to think too much, or which is creating a lot of ragadvesham inside, you have to leave it to come to that. Anything that is creating a lot of ragadvesham inside, or anything that is making you to think and think and think and get confused about all these things, Krishna is saying that, leave that behind, right? Even if that is not possible completely, he is saying here that, at least accept this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken. He said, even if you can't do it, at least accept it, that this makes sense more than anything else, right? And if your Shraddha falls on this, Krishna says, that in that center, Just like in the Kurukshetra war, in the middle of the battlefield, how the it's like a Kurukshetram what's going on in our life also, is it not? You're fighting a Kurukshetram here. And that's what family life, our life in this world, all the vyavaharam, what we do here. In the middle of all that, Krishna is saying there that there is a shelter, and that is this verse. Om Tat Sat Didi Nirdesham Brahmanatra Vidhasmrita. This verse requires a lot of reflection and reading all other things, what Prabhupada has also written about that in the Gita. And if you can understand whatever you can get out of it, you should try to get out of it. Because that verse is Krishna's conclusion of this chapter. Om Tat Sat Didi Nirdesham Brahmanatra Vidhasmrita Brahmanastena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihida Puraha. So Krishna is saying here that if you have to remember that in the middle of all these Kurukshetram, there is a place where there is Shanti, and that is at Antaryami. And you are calling it by different names. You may be calling, like in the Puranam, Bhagavad Puranam, it said, Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade, referring to whom? That Antaryami inside here. So that is that location, heart. For them, there is no vigalpam there, perfect shanti there, and no matter what problem comes in this world, you can see the problem goes away in sushupti. There is no problem. And that is a display of Antaryami's power. Antaryami is able to do that to anybody. Put them into sushupti, all his problems are solved. You remember in the Second World War, when a lot of soldiers fought the war, they broke their limbs, hands and everything. Doctors found out that if he can get sushupti state, he's free from the pain. So they gave a lot of sedatives to them. Of course, doctors didn't study Upanishad and all that. Doctors found out in their own way that if he gets good sleep, then he won't feel the pain. So in order to keep them pain-free, what they did was they gave them a lot of powerful sedatives. But through sedatives, you won't get this state. You will get temporarily for some time. That's all. Krishna's method is, by realizing this once for all, permanently, you become free from the problems. Right? Once you enter inside, and the proof of that is sushupti. When you enter into sushupti, no more problems after that. So, knowingly or unknowingly, if you are able to enter inside there, then that is what, knowingly if you can do that, it is yogam. Unknowingly when it happens, it is layam. Unknowingly if it happens in the deep sleep, that's called a layam. There are specific words for that in Vedanta. They are saying, unknowingly if it happens, it is layam. Knowingly if you are able to do that, it is yogam. Yeah. So, we consciously, if you are able to do that, and bring it into the vacant state also, the same experience in the sushupti, nischala tattva jivan mukti, you are already liberated here, now, itself. You don't have to wait till you leave the body to go back and all that. All finished here itself, right now. Right? So, that is why Gaudavada Acharya, who is the disciple of Shuga Brahmarshi. Shuga Brahmarshi's disciple. Narayanam, Krishna, Brahma, Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, Shuga Brahmarshi. And then comes Gaudavada. Gaudavada's disciple is, they are all highly realized personalities, aren't they? You know, right up to Shuga Brahmarshi is father to son. Narayanam, Brahmam, Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, Shuga Brahmarshi. Father to son, like that. All highly realized personalities. After Shuga Brahmarshi, it is not seminal parambara. It is Gaudavada Acharya Hukam. That's why Gaudavada is given such a higher position in Vedanta. He wrote this Mandukya Karika. That is his famous commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, right? So this Gaudavada Acharya says like this, that he says that Yanina akavata kamena yoga dharmaha dharma gopavan. His knowledge, he is saying here that is like the space all over, right? It is so anandam. Ananda means unlimited, that realization inside, right? So he has to go and land there, and there establishing his chittam. And that is what Krishna is saying there. You may not have noticed that. Yadha vinimayam chittam, he said. Remember? That is the, which verse was that? Yadha vinimayam chittam, in the sixth chapter. You will start realizing, you will start realizing how in a very, very few words, 18th verse, 6:18. Yadha viniyadam chittam, alpanyeva avatishtade, nuspraha sarvagamebhyo yuktam ityachudaya tada. That's what Krishna is talking about. You see, yadha viniyadam chittam, atmanyeva avatishtate, nuspraha sarvagamebhyo yuktam ityachudaya tada. He said, And saying that, he says, continue this niyamanam again and again and again. This is for the jnani, this advice is. This is all for the jnani. Bhagavad Gita is basically a jnana grantham. Whatever you may say, basically it is a book of knowledge. Pure spiritual knowledge it is. Krishna has taken all Upanishads and, how do you say, took out the essence and created Bhagavad Gita from that. So it's basically pure knowledge book is Bhagavad Gita, right? So therefore that is why all the Upasana process spoken is also more of jnana margam it is, more than other bhakti margam. Bhakti, there is not much science involved. Bhakti requires only surrender. That's all it is. And that is also a difficult thing, it's not easy, but for people who are finding it difficult, most of us are, jnana margam is difficult. And so forth, the only solution is bhakti. Bhakti means sharanagati, sharanagati means surrender. That's all. Simply leaving it to Krishna's hands and leave it to Krishna. Whatever you want to do with me, you can do in that way. Yeah. So, whereas jnana margam is more organized in that sense. But provided you have that strength to do all these things, what Krishna has spoken. So, chittam becomes shantam, and then it is training the chittam to go and establish in the atma and to settle down there, not to come back again, right? In other words, chittavrittis have stopped. There is no problem with chittavritti anymore. Desires are not more. Yukta ityachudaya sada. That means he is always situated in the yoga state, right? Yogi. And this realization or practice, jnani say, is very enlivening. People who are practicing that, they say it's very enlivening, right? And that is why they say they should go for self-inquiry. They will say this. Those who are capable of doing that, right? Again and again inquiring, who am I? And going back into the Antaryami. In other words, even though everything is changing in the world outside, body is changing, mind is changing, the one inside us who is not changing, Antaryami, right? Because body is changing, intelligence is changing, mind is changing, senses are changing, but even though all of them are changing, this one reality inside, which is not changing, Achit, right? If you keep your attention on him, that is your existence, there you will find that perfection, Purnada or Shanti, and that is my Swarupam. Krishna is saying that, and again, this particular verse, Krishna is confirming in the next two verses, 23 and 24. What he has spoken in that verse, in the 22nd, in the 23, he is confirming that again in the 24th verse. He says, Tasmado mityu vahrityam yajna dana tapakriyaha pravartande vidhanoktam satatam brahmavadinam. Krishna is saying by that. He says, Brahman realized to people, brahmavadis, they, therefore, when they were performing yajnam, yagam and all that, tapasya, dhanam, all these things, they will always use this letter Om. Om. Tasmad Om ityudahritya. The importance of the letter Om. Om ityudahritya. Yajnam danam tapasya kriya pravartande vidhanoktam satatam brahmavadinam. Tasmad Om ityudahritya. Uchari yajnadana tapakriyaha yajnadi surubaha kriyaha ప్రవర్తన్ విధానోక్తం శాస్త్ర చోదితాః సదదం సర్వదా బ్రహ్మవాదినాం బ్రహ్మవదనశీలానాం. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద శాస్త్రం, వెన్ దే పర్ఫార్మ్ యజ్ఞం, దానం, తపస్, బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద శాస్త్రం, వెన్ దే డూ దాట్ దే షుడ్ యూస్ దిస్ లెటర్ ఓం. దే షుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ సే ద వర్డ్ ఓం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ది అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణాస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఈస్. If you say Om, it means Brahmam is present there. In that letter Om, Brahmam is present in that. So with that, that's what it is. Now we have another few more verses, four verses, which we'll discuss next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.